Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 16 of the SFG podcast. I'm your host, Lion Zion 4, aka Mr. Lion, aka Coach Lion, CKA, commonly known as Antonio, which is actually my middle name, which I'm not commonly known as. It's not very common in my everyday names that I go by. But now the podcast world knows that I'm with my co-host, the scruffy one himself, Mr. Sick, aka Coach Sick, Mr. Sakani Buzzin. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. Always better. We're coming off of a game where we're collecting at least 1 point to 3 points, even though it felt like 2 points dropped against Burnley, which we're going to talk about in a second. But other than that, we're enjoying a decent run of form, I would say, right?
Yeah, like you said, it does feel like, you know, some points were dropped, but it is what it is. We move on. We have something bigger to look forward to this week.
Yes, Olympiacos.
So it's not a loss, so it's not, you know, absolutely the worst, but then again, it's points dropped.
And if we're going to mistakes, for sure. But we're good for talking form, though, since haven't lost a game since February 21st, which is against City. But, yeah. I mean, in our last, let's say, what, 6 games we've dropped, we've only lost one. So we've taken points out of our last 6 games, but we've only lost one out of our last 6. So I can't be mad at that. That's in all comps. That's not just the Premier League, because all the stat heads out there call us wrong for that, but
yep.
But yeah, it's been a decent run of form for Arsenal so far, and now we're really getting into the business end of the tournament, right? So
not only
the tournament, but the Premier League too as well. So we'll start back. We'll kind of backtrack. Start from the last game, which was the last Premier League game, which was a 1-1 draw from against Burnley, a team that we pretty much struggled against this season. They're definitely a tough outfit, but that game was last Saturday. We'll start with the quick lineups. Burnley with Nick Pope in goal, Luton on right back, Tokarski and me at center back, and Taylor at the left back position. Then it was a 4-4-2. Yep, 4-4-2.
Yeah, 4-4-2.
McNeil, Brownhill, Westwood, a real English, or I guess you could say a real Premier League driven midfield with Vydra and who's that? Christian Wood up top? Christian Wood, right? Yeah. In the 9, who scored the Christopher Wood. Christian Wood, who scored the gift given by the Arsenal team. Now we lined up in the 4-2-3-1, Leno in goal. Chambers at right back today, making his first Premier League start of the season. David Luiz and Mari at center back. Yeah, really surprising, right? And Tierney. What do you think about that back line?
I get it. I understand. It just was surprising to see him out there. I'm actually happy for him because, you know, obviously he's coming off of ACL. So for him to get out there and, you know, get some minutes was actually really good. I thought he was one of the bright spots of the back line too, but yeah, man, it's what I expected. The other three are what I expected, I guess I should say. I thought we would have seen either Cedric or Bellerin, but it was cool to see Chambers. I mean, he didn't play bad, so I don't really have much to say about the back line.
He didn't play bad at all. I think he had a very good game considering. I mean, we were going to keep the ball most of the game anyways, and all that fun stuff. So I wasn't at all. He wasn't really troubled. He did pretty well for himself, all things considered.
I told you. Sorry, keep going. I'll say that. I was going to say I told you about Mari.
He's playing good. Yeah, he's playing good. He's doing what a third choice center back should be doing, I guess, right now, which is win games when you're in, right? And don't cause any mistakes. He's doing well. I think that mainly every time we've called upon him outside of City, he's done a job. He's done a job, and as long as he keeps doing a job, then we should always be in contention. But like you said, he has his. You could only judge, right? You could only judge a player like that off of performances, like off of what he's done, because he hasn't been here long. He's been injured for most of the time he's been here. And the minute that he gets an opportunity that the gaffers decided to play him, he's been playing well. So I can't be mad. Like, I guess the same thing with Chambers, in a sense. Five aerial duels won, two key passes, 75, close to 75% pass accuracy on 82 touches.
He had a very good cross. I can't remember who missed it. I think it might have been Aubameyang, but yeah.
And even with
he had a really good low cross, and I was just like, damn.
Even with the 75% pass accuracy, he said six clearances. So I mean, you know, most clearances are normally intercepted by the other team. So if you take that into consideration, you probably would have been closer to 80, up the upper 80s in pass accuracy. So good game for him. Solid game. Going into the rest of the lineup, two defensive mids. We saw Partey make his, I think, was this his first start of the season? Since the January injury.
It might have been his first start. Might have been.
But he played well too as well. Started the attack for the goal, kind of a pre-assist. Xhaka's paired with him, which we'll get into. And the three in front of them was Saka on the right, so he returned into the lineup. Odegaard in the 10 role, and Willian out on the left, and Aubameyang up top. So what do you think about the front four? Selection wise, again, not surprising.
No, it wasn't surprising, but I did expect to see Pepe instead of Willian. Honestly,
I did too. I did too.
But I give my credit where it's due. Willian,
got assist today.
Willian played. He played decent. But even so, this goes back to, you know, the discussions that we had, and I still don't feel like it's fair to Pepe, because it's like he puts a stretch of games together, like you said, and he still doesn't get the starts.
Yeah, like he's always
the first one to get dropped, and I think that's a little bit unfair, because, you know, we spoke about it, and I do see what you said. You were saying, you know, he played, but in my opinion, I just feel like he gets his stretch of games, he always does good. And it was like that at the end of last season, which I thought he should have been, you know, a starter come this season.
No, I understand. But I get what you're saying.
It's not fair to him, bro. Like,
I agree with you to an extent. I think that obviously there's something going on as to why Willian's playing so much. But at this point, only thing you can hope for is that he continues to be on the form that he's on, right?
Because yeah, definitely.
Three assists in three games. You know, you really can't be mad at that. Obviously, Pepe has deserved his spot. But I think right now, if you're really looking at it, Pepe is in competition with Saka. Because both their best positions are out wide on the right. Pepe can do a job on the left, but it's clearly more comfortable on the right. And I think that's his preferred position. So if you look at it, with Willian mainly being on the left, he's played Willian everywhere, right? He's played a lot of guys everywhere, really, to be fair, Arteta. But if you really look at the competition on the left, it's not as competitive, because Martinelli's not playing for whatever reason. Aubameyang is being preferred to play up front, depending upon who he, you know, the setup of the team, which leaves that role on the left. And I think with Willian playing there more normally, I think Pepe is going to be used more on the right to be the backup to Saka. because right now you can't really can you take out Saka? You can't take Saka out of the team if he's fit and ready, right? Kind of difficult. If we're going to have that conversation, he's been our player of the season.
I also think you could put Pepe back on the left.
No, you could. You could. And that's a different conversation. I don't even want to get into, you know, I just want to say where they normally play, I can see why if it's between Saka and Pepe right now, if the manager's saying, look, I want to play Pepe at his best role and I'll play Saka at his best role. If it's between them two, I think the clear answer right now is to play Saka.
But you got to remember, Saka started playing super well on the left side anyway.
No, he did too as well. He did too as well. But I just think this season, him being arguably our best player in the season, and he's been playing, his best roles have been on the right side, I think.
Which started when Pepe got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, he's played on the right before, though. He's played on the right before then.
Yeah, but mainly he started when he got the red card at the beginning.
Saka's been playing there for a while, though. Mm. Saka's been playing there for a minute. Saka hasn't just started playing this year. He's even in the FA Cup and things like that. He's just been playing everywhere. That's the thing. He's been playing all over the place.
Yeah, I know that.
But when he got into the team, I think it was clear that we wanted him. After the left back role thing kind of subsided, he was on the left and on the right. He was on both sides. But I think he's been most comfortable on the right because of his ability to link up and really kind of like play into the midfield. And I think on the left, specifically, even last year into this year, Aubameyang has been always there. You know what I mean? So it's not like, you know, it's not like Saka has played on the left and Aubameyang has played up top a lot. We haven't seen that combination a lot. It's been mainly been if Aubameyang's on the left, Saka's on the right, and then Lacazette's up top, and until Lacazette stops playing, and then, you know, then it's Aubameyang up top, whoever on the left, I guess Willian at this point in time, and then Saka on the right. But I see what you're saying, though. I understand. I you could move Pepe to the left. You could have did that today instead of playing Willian. You could have, definitely. Now, maybe he's resting Pepe for Champions League. I don't know. I mean, from Champions League. For Europa League, I don't know. Possibly, if that's the case, and we see him start tomorrow, which we'll get into the lineups later, then maybe that's what it is. But as for right now, Willian's getting preferred still, and I mean it's paid off, right? He's gotten the goal. We'll talk about the goal. So looking at the video, for some reason, the extended highlights don't show exactly when the first how the play started, but obviously you remember Pepe getting the ball out of the back. Out of the six, playing a nice 1-2 with Xhaka to start the play. He makes, I think, Christian Wood.
You mean Partey?
Partey playing the playing the 1-2 with Xhaka, and in our own half, he made somebody miss. I remember after he collected the ball from Leno, he made someone miss. And I forgot. I think it might have been Chris Wood or the other striker, but he ended up playing the 1-2 around the other striker. And then finds Willian right away with a great pass to the midfield. Willian drives through the midfield and plays a ball over to Aubameyang, which, I mean, look, it's one of those assists, right, where it's really like Aubameyang doing most of the work. However, an assist is an assist still, right? It's still, you know, it's still a chance that you created. And Aubameyang gets the ball on the left, and, you know, when a right back is seeing Aubameyang do two step overs and go into his right, it's danger zone time, you know, for him. And to be fair, the shot was decent. Pope should have probably did better. I think Pope should have done better, definitely stronger. I don't know if he expected the ball to go near post like it did. I think it went between the right back's legs too. So unlucky.
It didn't. Nah, he should have saved that, bro.
Let me see.
He did it. Oh no! The thing is, the keeper.
It was in traffic. There was a bit of traffic.
He started to shift over.
Yeah, he probably thought he was going far post.
He tried to cheat a little bit, and he thought he was gonna go a little far post.
I'm looking at it again. Looking at it right now, and The Pope's on.
He should have done better, post. Bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I'm taking the goal.
Really on his near post. Like, he's not. There's really no excuse.
Yeah. Like I said,
he didn't even shift.
Okay.
He
yeah. See, I was trying to.
Yeah. He was trying to give him. You were trying to shoot him some bail. Yeah. He tried to shoot him some bail. Nah.
He should have done better though.
He should have done a lot better.
Yeah. It was bad.
Now
the shot wasn't that good, but I'll take it.
Right before the, I'm going through extended highlights. Right before the Xhaka mistake, not right before, like about 10 minutes before, Xhaka gives the ball away, going backwards. He tries to play to Chambers. He gives like a half volley pass that just doesn't get to Chambers, and then they go off on an attack. We had Chambers ends up staying with their man and gets and they ends up getting a leg on the cross, ends up being from Leno. And Xhaka puts his hands up. A couple minutes later, he gets an interception, starts a counterattack with Odegaard. Odegaard plays through the middle. Odegaard goes down and tries to find, I think, Aubameyang. And I think this is where another one of our decent chances happened. Aubameyang goes out to Willian. They go back and forth. And Partey plays a beautiful pass over to Aubameyang that the right back almost gets to and then fumbles it up. Aubameyang had a big chance there. I think that was like probably the second biggest chance of the game where it fell to him. It was unfortunate because I guess he didn't expect the ball to be there on the six like that. But that's another chance wasted that I think we could have went up 2-0. I think if we're up 2-0 in the 18th minute, I think the game's over. I think the game's literally done at that point. I think we have another chance. And then a couple minutes later, Saka gets the 1-2 that he should be putting away. I mean, in all honesty, and you don't want to be too harsh on the kid, right? But
no, geez, no, you do. Nah, bro.
I mean, what I'm saying that. Is, you know, like
I get it, yeah, but you got
to
finish that.
But you have to finish that.
You have to finish that.
And again, it's one of those things too, right? The ball bounces, comes right back, like good fortune, right? Good fortune.
Yep.
Comes right back to his left foot, and he just uses the outside of the foot kind of and tries, and it spins away. I mean, yikes! That's 2-3-0. The game's over. The game's done at that point. You could get ready for Thursday.
And that's the thing, man. We need to be more ruthless in front of goal.
Yes, like for sure.
We get definitely. Some of these chances, definitely. And it's
especially because our back bad. Line is capable of giving up a goal. It's capable, yep. or our team in general. Is capable of just calamitous errors. And speaking of that, you know, 39th minute, Leno gets the ball, plays it back to Xhaka. And all right, to be fair, we're getting closed down right as Pablo plays the ball to Leno. So Leno has a choice. Leno could play. He could clear the ball. However,
he could
Xhaka has asked for the ball specifically. Xhaka has taken a look. He took a look to his left. I'm watching it right now. He took a look to his left before he came back into the box to receive the ball. So again, Leno has a choice. He could clear it, right? And part of that goes to Leno for not thinking about that. However, if you're center defensive mid, you're holding mid, the guy that's job is to go and collect the ball from the back line and help us transition is asking for the ball with his back. I mean, with his forward facing goal, you give him the ball. Not only that, Leno gives him the ball to his left foot because he takes the first touch to his left and then he tries to go to his right now. Could he have made the pass first time with the outside of his left? Possibly. I would have wanted him to do that in their own box. So naturally, you're told to take an extra touch. And after you make the second touch, though, the issue that I have is the same issue I've had with Xhaka a lot. He doesn't. That red light in his head goes off too late. It's too late. Like, it's not – as a center defensive mid, your job is to know these things, to feel pressure. And if you feel the pressure is too much, take the first touch, turn, and boot the ball 80 yards. Or turn and hit and boot the ball 80 yards out of bounds. I'm cool with that. Do everything but what you did. Because when you take that second touch and you try to play it blindly over to the other side, you run the risk of it of a bad pass – bouncing off of something and going into the back of the net. And that's literally the worst thing that could happen. And that's exactly what happened.
My thing is unfortunately, sometimes, you know, Leno, that's one of Leno's criticisms, is that he doesn't know when to, like, you know, boot the ball out or when to, like, play it out the back. Mm-hmm. I'm not blaming him. This is not me blaming him. I'm just saying.
No, I understand.
But
I understand.
My thing is, with that whole situation, is Xhaka should have played it first time. If when he got the ball, he shouldn't have taken the touch. Mm-hmm. Once he took the touch, that's where he put himself into trouble. Mm-hmm. If he hit that first time, even if he would have messed up the pass and, like, kicked it out for, like, a, or, like, kicked it in like towards Chris Wood's direction. Mm-hmm. I still think he wouldn't have been able to, like, react to the ball. Honestly. So I feel like in that situation, he should have just hit it out first time. Once he took the touch, he let Chris Wood set his feet, and now he's able to push off in either direction and react to the ball a lot quicker.
Yeah, I mean, Chris didn't even, I don't think Chris even knew until the ball.
Yeah, of course, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's,
he just put himself, you're right,
he put himself in the right position to get a touch on the ball.
It's one thing if you didn't see him. But you turned, you looked, you examined the situation.
Yeah, I get that. And you, my thing, and you have to hit that out first time, bro. You have to.
For sure.
The thing is, and this is what I say Leno needs to do better in that situation. Like, in that situation, you're going to give him the ball. Tell this man to go first time. Don't give him the ball and not say. That,
but at the same time, though, Xhaka did look. It's not like he didn't look. There's almost no need.
Okay, I get it. Yes, it's 100% his fault.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, you still communicate, bro.
I hear that.
You communicate.
But you're also professional too, though.
Okay, that doesn't mean anything.
I'm not saying.
Listen to what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is, yes, he could have passed. He could have communicated with him. Yes, there could have been 8 different ways. Pablo could have communicated with Leno to clear the ball. Then, if we really wanted to go that far,
he told him to go the other way.
He told him to go forward.
He was talking to Xhaka, but he told Xhaka to go to Luis first time.
Yeah.
So,
but that's what I'm saying. So there's no need for the keeper. I'm saying it's not a necessity. It's you would like that to happen, yes,
what do you mean?
But it's not a necessity.
You gave him
Leno
the ball,
doesn't need
bro.
To tell him that because Xhaka already.
Mean?
Hold on, I'll tell you why. If you're a player that did that blindly went into your own box to go get the ball, hold on, then I can understand you saying, "Yo, why didn't you tell me, man?" On Xhaka, I'm looking, I'm watching it right now. Xhaka walked into the.
I know. Let me finish. 100 times.
Let me finish. Xhaka walked into the box, took a look.
I get that.
He feels the pressure. He knows the guy is there, and he decided to go and make the second touch. You're a professional footballer.
So if I make a pass to you, you don't expect me to communicate to you?
It's an expectation. It's not a necessity. I don't need you to tell me every single time you make a pass. Come on. We're both playing at a high level to understand that every single pass.
All right. Okay. And communication is key, bro. I don't care what you say.
So on the other end, Partey makes the 1-2 with Xhaka. Partey didn't tell Xhaka, hey, play me a 1-2 when I played it back. He played it to him in a position to where he has to play the 1-2 back. So there is no necessity. I mean, yes, you talk in football. Yes, I'm not trying to be blind to the fact or negligent to the fact that the communication is key in football. But let's not act like the goal was scored because Leno decided not to talk to Xhaka about making it.
I'm not, but that's why I'm saying it's not a necessity. All of this stuff you can prevent.
Yes, of course, definitely. I'm saying we could have prevented it in 8 different ways. What I'm saying, the necessity though is not for Xhaka.
No,
to be
you
told
need to talk.
To go.
No, I think it's a necessity to talk in football. It is.
In that situation,
yes, so then he needs to tell him what to do with his back to three players. I don't care if you look or not, bro.
So let me ask you this. When Rodri goes and gets the ball from Ederson, does he? I can give you many situations very similar to this where Ederson doesn't talk to him and tells him, "Hey, go to the left, go to the right, or there's pressure on you."
That doesn't
or
make it
Casemiro
right.
Casemiro does. I'm not saying it
that
doesn't
does make
I,
it right.
I never said it was right or wrong. Listen to what I'm saying, though, bro. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. We're talking about.
I get it.
What I'm saying to to you is at the top level of football, other top CDMs do the same thing Xhaka does with less, is what I'm saying. With less communication, with less time on the ball, and they're able to do it because they're professionals, bro. This is a high level. So, yes, you should be talking every time.
Yes, that's I get that.
It's not an excuse. That's not an excuse, though. It's not an excuse. You're making it seem like.
Mark.
Yes, I'm not saying.
But you need to talk. You need to talk.
So, let's make this clear.
It's as simple as that. I don't want to compare players that are completely different.
Let's make this clear.
No, you need to talk, bro.
Talking is a necessity in football. We know this. We know that. There's no need to talk about that.
You need to communicate.
That being said, in that situation.
You need to communicate.
In that situation, Xhaka does not need Leno to tell him pressure is on him because Xhaka knows pressure is on him. So when you said he should have played it one time, Xhaka knows he should have played it one time because after the goal was scored, he put his hands up. He didn't say, "Oh, Leno, why didn't you tell me that the guy was behind him?" Like,
yes, I'm not saying it's Leno's fault. I'm not saying
you're saying that either. But we're making it seem like Leno could have prevented the goal by simply
talking to him. No, I don't think so.
Okay, so if Leno talks to him, hold on, let me ask a question. So if Leno goes and tells him to go out first time, and he still doesn't do that, then what?
Then whose fault? Then that's not Leno's fault. I don't understand.
So is it Leno's fault now for not talking to him? Then
I never said that, but I'm saying.
But you just said just now if Leno were to talk to Xhaka,
yes, he could have helped prevent the situation.
It could have helped. But I'm saying, would that? We don't know for sure, 100%. That's going to prevent.
Obviously, because it didn't happen.
Okay,
didn't
but what happen. I'm saying.
So how am I going to know about something that did not happen?
Because what I'm saying is the necessity. There's no need.
You need to communicate in football. What do you mean? Yes, you do.
You're not going to let me finish saying what I'm saying. Then we're just going to keep arguing back and forth. What I'm saying.
Yeah, because we're not agreeing on this situation at all.
But like, you don't know what I'm.
Nothing you tell me is going to make. I do understand.
So what am I saying?
What you're saying that it's not necessary for Leno to talk to Xhaka in that situation.
100%. It's not necessary.
I know. Exactly.
It's not a necessity. I'm telling you, it is a necessity. It could be an expectation. Maybe he expected him to speak a bit more. Okay. There's a difference between expectations and necessities, though.
Nah.
I'm expecting to get the ball on my right foot. That means every single time I get a pass, it doesn't come on my right foot, that I need to be playing.
So let me ask you this question. I know you're good enough. Mm-hmm. And I understand that you can get out of situations because, you know, you played at a high level.
Yeah.
I'm going to play you the ball with three players putting pressure on our goal, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to say anything to you. You don't think it's necessary for me to tell you, yo, kick the ball out first time?
I don't think it's necessary.
Go left or go right or
whatever. But we're making a general statement here. And generally, it's a necessity to talk. Generally. In a general footballing situation, it's a necessity.
In that situation, it's a necessity.
In this situation, with Xhaka coming back to the goal, looking around and examining the situation before he gets there, it's not a necessity. You know why I say that? Because I've seen other professionals at that level.
Yeah, that's good for them. That is really good for them.
But you know what that tells me? It doesn't tell me that.
No, it doesn't tell me that Leno. It
doesn't tell me that Leno needs to talk to him in every situation gets the ball. It tells me that Xhaka's not good enough. That's all it tells me. It tells me he's not good enough because other. Okay, so how come everybody else can?
That's your opinion.
How come top level CDMs can do it then? Tell me why.
I guess.
Tell me why they can do it and why he can't. Because it's not about talking. Why does he make these mistakes then?
Different.
Why is he the top? Why is he the top player for Arizona?
I don't
want to
hear that, bro. We're not talking.
Why are these things?
Okay, all right. Now we're going somewhere else.
No, it's not.
Okay.
We're staying in the same.
Let's keep going. Nah, let's go.
The reason why I'm saying this is because it all goes back to trying to shift blame away from the simple fact that he's not on par with the top center defensive mids in the Premier League or Europe. It's just not. That's just the way it is. Could he be? Could other things have happened to prevent the goal? Yes, definitely, 100%. Things could have happened, but guess what happened? I can tell you what happened. He examined the situation, went and received the ball, and took two more. It took an extra touch he should have taken, and we lost points because of that.
Okay,
that's what happened. At the end of the day, we can dissect this all we want, but at the end of the day, what happened is Xhaka in his position doing what he's expected to do in ideal circumstances or not ideal circumstances. This is his job. Right, okay. We have a top center mid next to him that did the exact opposite of what Xhaka did 20 minutes prior, which was start the play and create a chance that led to a goal.
Okay.
And it's night and day, bro. It's night and day.
You're in the same positions. Okay. We're going off topic now.
This is a topic that many want to discuss anyways. So what I'm saying to you is, you're not wrong by saying that we need to talk in football. We're not wrong by saying other things could have happened to prevent the goal. But guess what? At the end of the day, the catalyst is the guy that had the ball to make the move to get us out the back caused the goal to happen. Yeah, and it's happened.
I firmly say that it's his fault.
Other people, 100%. Other defensive mids. I don't care. In the same situation, are doing. Mids. I know you don't. I know you don't. I do though, because we're gonna be looking for some. We're gonna be looking for some.
Yeah, of course.
So we're gonna be looking for central mids
right now.
We know that he's
not gonna be there.
We don't really know that because Arteta plays him a lot, and I do think he's important to the team today.
The reason why he plays him there because we have nobody else that's better.
Correct.
Than him.
I agree.
And that's why I say I don't think he'll be there in the long run. But us trying to compare him to XYZ is not gonna help.
The conversation has been for five years that he is good enough. That's my point. It's been like that, and there's still a big part of this club that says, I can only speak for myself, but we're speaking on the pod because we're speaking as a general Arsenal fan too. So I know you can speak for yourself, but there's a lot of people in and around the club in terms of the fan base and in terms of the staff that do think he's good enough. So if we're gonna say that. It goes without saying. It doesn't go without saying because Xhaka has been. He plays one of the most. He probably leads the team in minutes. Or one of the most.
Yeah,
Premier League.
He does.
He plays a lot. Not, and it is because we don't have anything better. But also because of the importance he is to the team. He's very important to the team. He's very important to the structure. And we'd be blind to say that he's not important to the team. However, that in itself is a problem. If you have a guy in such an important role in the team. Almost single-handedly dropping points. That's a problem within itself, especially when we're currently sitting in what 10th place in the Premier League, and we're struggling to find points. Right?
Yeah.
It's difficult when you have someone there that is helping to drop points. Now it's not just him. David Luiz has done it, and he's a mainstay in the team as well. Right? He's a guy that's also very important to the team, and he's dropped us points plenty of times this season. Other guys too. Other guys as well. We can look at Aubameyang. And said that Aubameyang has dropped points for us. They've been missing chances, right? So it's obviously Aubameyang has a way more upside to that. So it kind of cancels itself out. But the reason why I say it's important is because of the fact of where we are currently as a team. It's very important to have that conversation and to say, what do we need to do? Maybe he sticks around. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But my whole thing is somebody so important to this team cannot be given such an important role. And mess that up, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances around it. It is what it is. And look, I know you rate him. I rate him too for what he can do. I've been critical of him too. Maybe overly critical at times. But this is the reason why I'm critical of him, because we can afford to drop points against Burnley in a game that we should have won 3-4, 5-0, right? And we can get into the second half and see how that. Is really more directly responsible to our front three and just hitting the post. Pepe missing chances too as well when he came on. So it's not just Xhaka, right? But at the end of the day, those things, it's a difference between top four, top five, top six, and being mid-table, right? Because anything can happen. Tomorrow we can go out and God forbid, we go out and we take three by Olympiacos. Our season's over, right? Our season's done.
Yep.
You feel me? So it is important. To have this discussion, because at the end of the day, bro, dropping points to Burnley, that 3 points could have put us potentially where are we at right now? We're 38 points. Those 3 points would have put us ahead of Villa. We'd have been in ninth. We'd have been 2 points back from Liverpool, and we would have been 7 points off of fifth place. 9 points off fourth. You see what I'm saying? That puts us in a very different position. Definitely with plenty of football left to play. So all these games are important. All these points are important, especially now because we have a North London derby coming up after Olympiacos. We have West Ham. We have Liverpool. We have Everton a couple weeks after that. I mean, it doesn't get easier, right? It ain't getting no easier from here, bro. You know what I'm saying? So we got to pick up points any way we can. And this game was a big game to drop 2 points, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think going into the second half again, we also talked about Pepe. Yeah, and
gotta talk about that bar.
And you know what? Let's just get into that now. So second half, Lacazette comes on. For who did he come on for? He came on for
Odegaard.
Odegaard, yes. Odegaard, it looked like he was being rested because I think Odegaard's probably. I mean, at this point, he's our only 10, right? So.
Yeah.
I mean, Smith ESR is hurt. He's back?
He's back now. He's back? Yeah, he's back now. He trained today.
Okay, good. That's good. Well, yeah. So I think at the time, we just didn't know when he was going to come back. So ESR for Saka. Partey came out for Ceballos. And Willian came off for Lacazette. It looked like Lacazette was probably playing more.
He played the 10.
The 10, right?
Yeah, he played the 10.
I'm sorry, Pepe came on for Willian. So Willian was on the left. I mean, Pepe was on the right. Saka went back to the left, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yes. Yep. And then Lacazette in the 10. So, again, second half, just way more dominance by us. Throughout the entire game, Saka had a few chances. He got a couple shots blocked. The big chance came, definitely came. Actually, Ceballos had a few shots too as well, or one or two. The big chance came from Pepe. Was that before or after the?
The one he missed, miskicked?
The miskick. Was that before or after the PK shout?
I think it was like.
Well, the miskick. So the miskick came. I'm just going through the. Extended right now. The miss kick looked like it came first.
I think the miss kick was first.
And that was, I mean, it's tough because he got caught
in 2 minds.
Yeah, and the deflection came too. But again, Saka starting off playing a great ball to Tierney. And I think Pepe may have expected a rebound, which is probably why he slowed down. But then the ball just, it's just again, same thing with him, Saka, a lot of us, Aubameyang today. It's just like we're in great positions, and we're just fortunate, and the ball falls, and we just could not put it away today. And I think normally we create chances, but I don't think we create so many clear cut chances as we had today. I think that's one thing I would say. We had a lot of clear. I think the XG was like 2 point something. I don't remember what it was, but we had a lot of clear cut chances, and right after that. Saka plays a beautiful ball over to Pepe in the box, and that was with the handball shout that had the red card overturned, which was rightly overturned. Should have been overturned. Shouldn't have been a red card at all.
That was after the great save VAR chance,
by the way. Huh? That was after the VAR chance. Exactly. Yeah. That shouldn't have been a red card. That's a great call. Actually, it's a really good save, to be honest with you. Really, really good save.
Yeah, I agree. And you got lucky though.
But the red, but the penalty, the handball.
That dude came on in the 64th minute.
Yeah, he came on. Yeah,
this happened in like 20 minutes.
But the handball though, we got to talk about that.
That was terrible, bro. We can
get through this. But the VAR, what are you doing, bro? What's going on here? Like, you guys have taken so many points from us. And I think this one has got to be the clearest one out of all of them. Like, I don't even think it's close. This guy bats the ball down in the middle of the – like, I don't – like, what can you – what is that? What do you call that exactly? If it's not a handball, what do you call it exactly?
Yeah.
What is it? Because that surely wasn't his shoulder. I mean Pepe flicks the ball in the air. And
it's crazy. He winks after.
Because he knows. He knows. He winked.
He winked and smiled after. Got away with one.
I just don't understand what is the excuse.
Yeah.
Are you going to say it's in an unnatural position?
Get out of here. I don't want to hear that.
His hand's in the air. It is in the air. Not only is that, like, he doesn't try to get out the way, he bats the ball down. That is a clear and obvious penalty. I don't even understand. At this point, they need to fix VAR. I don't know how. I don't know how you fix it. I don't know. I do not know how you fix it. But for one, the ref missed it. So it's the ref. I think it's the ref's fault more than VAR, to be honest with you, because as a ref, you missed it. And then VAR, I think with VAR, I guess it's limited to, you can tell with certain calls with VAR, if the ref doesn't make the initial call, you don't see it. You don't see VAR correcting the ref much. You see what I'm saying? And I know it has a lot to do with like their standings. Like I think refs get like rated on how many calls they're wrong about with VAR. I read some article about it, which I should find it. But I don't see that happen often. So if the ref were to call the handball, if he were to call it, right, and it went to VAR, VAR's not overturning that. You see what I'm saying? VAR would not go and say, oh, that's not a handball. You know what I mean? We would have gotten the penalty. I'm almost sure. I'm almost certain of that. So in a way, it's really more the ref's responsibility first, or the linesman. Like, what are you doing, linesman? Like, that's kind of your job too, bro. Like, you, it's on the right side. Like, I just don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get how the flag didn't go up. If the ref didn't see it, that's one thing, right? The game's really fast. Maybe the ref was maybe a few yards away. Maybe the angle wasn't there. But as a linesman, that's your job too as well. So the linesman and ref get it wrong. VAR has now it's VAR's responsibility to go make up for that. And for some reason, they don't. It's inexplainable how they don't, but they don't. And because of that, we end up losing points because, I mean, yes, Aubameyang or whoever takes the penalty still has to take the penalty. But damn, give us the penalty, though, at least. You know what I'm saying? So after that, of course, you know, there's pandemonium after that, because from that call, then the red card came, which looked like a makeup call. VAR overturned the red card because I was obviously wrong. And then a couple minutes later in stoppage time, we were knocking on the door for a goal. We hit the post. Ceballos hits the post.
We needed that one badly.
I think we hit the post twice, right? Ceballos hit the post. Pepe hit the post on the red card. The red card that was overturned. That whole play.
Yeah. Pepe hit the top bar.
Ceballos hits the post. We get a chance at the end. It it's one of those days. It's one of those days. End of the day. One of those days. But what I can't fathom is how we don't get that call overturned. I just don't understand how we didn't get a penalty. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And I feel like we got cheated out of that game because of that, more than anything. More than the Xhaka thing, we should have at least got the penalty to redeem that. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it wouldn't have mattered as much had we won the game, right? And I think that's really the main reason why this whole thing has been kind of microanalyzed, is because of the fact that we end up dropping points. So it is what it is. But moving forward, Olympiacos on Thursday, tomorrow. I think with the rest of certain guys, how do you think Arteta comes out? I think we should just go through the lineup together. And then we'll see what similarities or differences we have.
Okay. Obviously,
Leno goal, for sure. Yeah.
Tierney.
Yep.
I do think he goes Gabriel and Holding.
Gabriel Holding. You don't think David Luiz? I think he might go Gabriel David Luiz, man. I think he might go Luiz.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I would have liked to see Gabriel and Pablo, but they're both left-footed. So I can understand why he wants, you know, they're both playing the left-sided center back role. And it's really on the depth chart, it's really, you know, Gabriel, Pablo on the left, Holding and David Luiz on the right, right? As the two center back pairings in terms of, you know, two guys on the right, two guys on the left. So if you're going to play Gabriel, you're more than likely going to see David Luiz next to him. And if you play Pablo, you're more than likely seeing Rob Holding next to him. In that sense, so I mean, you can't go wrong. I could see. Pablo and Luis played today. I mean, against Burnley. But if you bring back Gabriel, I don't see Gabriel pairing with Pablo. I think you're gonna see him with David Luiz.
I don't think he does two left footed.
I don't think that happens.
My main thing is the right back.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask you. That is a very, 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 very big question.
And
Cedric, are you going?
Honestly, as of right now, I'm going Cedric.
Okay. Okay, interesting.
Because yeah, I know, bro, and I don't, and I'm not too big of the Cedric fan, but he's been playing very well. You were probably a
bigger Cedric fan than I was, I think, at the time.
Yeah, I guess. And
I'm a believer now. I'm a believer now. I don't think he's our starting right back for the future.
No. He needs to be a backup.
But he's a good backup. Opinion. Very solid backup.
But he's very, you know, solid.
He's kind of what we, you know, considering the backups that we had in the past with Andres Santos and Stephen Lichtensteiner and you know, those guys. I mean, he's making Cedric look like Roberto Carlos. You know what I'm saying? So
that's the thing. I think I'm going Cedric. But realistically, I think it's going to be Bellerin. But
yeah, I think it might be Bellerin. I think my mind says Cedric. My heart says Bellerin, because I think in a game like this, if Cedric does mess up or something happens, then people are going to look around and say,
"Why are you not starting your
you know, the guy that's made, you know, close to it." Says Bellerin have 100 appearances for Arsenal? Probably, right? I think he's at 100.
Probably.
Considering his and that goes, you might as well, I mean, since we're going to make this a short pod today, we might as well go into the questions while we finish this, right? So we're going to start a question segment of the pod, and I think we were going to do three questions. We actually got a lot of responses for questions, and if you guys do have questions, send it over to sfgpodcast4@gmail.com or on Instagram at sfgpod or on Twitter. However, we're going to do that segment, but because we're kind of short on time, we wanted to make this a quick preview pod and then go ahead and do the pod for Spurs. We're going to go with questions as we're finishing the lineup. So while we're on the subject of Bellerin, you had the first question, right, Sick?
Yeah. First question was...
Oh, and tell us who it was from. Shout out to... Who's that one from?
This one is from our good friend Courtney.
Yes, over in Seattle. Shout out to Courtney. Over in Seattle. Shout out to the pod being listening to in Seattle.
I definitely appreciate it. He asked, do you think we will be in any European tournaments next year? Whew.
Is that the Bellerin question? I feel like I had the other one. That was a Bellerin question.
Snap. Sorry. This one was from the Bellerin question was from our other good friend Kyle. Well,
so let's do that one first, and then we'll do Courtney's.
Yeah, well, since we're on the Bellerin topic, you're right.
So what was
he asked, shout out to Kyle, what's going
over in the Panhandle.
Shout out to Kyle.
Listening to the pod over there. Shout out.
He asked, what's going on at right back next year? Where is Bellerin going?
Yes. So while we're on that subject, I think go ahead. You answer first. It's your question. I'll let you
Honestly, I think he is gone. I think this is going to be the last season that we see Bellerin.
Yeah, I agree.
And I am okay with that.
Have you come to terms with it?
Yeah, and only because I think we can still get, you know, the 30 to 35 mil for him.
Yes,
I don't think that's how much he's worth.
PSG offered 25 last year, right?
No, I think they offered. I think it was 30.
Was it 30?
I think they offered 30.
I mean, but you can't. You couldn't have sold him this year.
I
couldn't have sold him this year.
Yeah, we would have been. We would have been in trouble. Really been in trouble.
I can't say that with absolute certainty that we should have taken the offer. Now, if we get the offer this summer, by all means, I think
definitely.
You know, and I think honestly. At this point in time, and I didn't want to cut you off, you know, he's made 180 appearances for Arsenal, actually, too, as well. It's a great career. I mean, since 2013, I mean, you know, he's 25 now. I mean, that was, what, 8 years ago? So he's been in the team since he's 17. He's made 180 appearances. He's been a captain. He's had a storied career here. And, you know, good for him. Great for him. I wish him nothing but the best. But at this point in time, he is not what we need. He's surplus to requirements here. For us to be better, for us to get to the top level of the Premier League and hopefully back in Champions League, we need a better right back. It's just the way life goes. You need a better right back. And I think for him, you know, it's unfortunate because injuries killed him. And I think him, Bellerin being a pacey wing back, he's not the best on the ball. He's not the best defender, not a great defender. But pace was always his MO. He's always able to get up and down the wing. He's always able to put in a decent cross on most days. And he was shifty at times. He could surprise you, but he wasn't elite at all those things. What he had was elite speed. He had elite pace. And with those cruciate injuries and things like that, stalling or stunting his athleticism, he just doesn't have it anymore. It's just not there anymore. And with the Premier League getting more difficult, getting younger, getting guys with more pace, he's getting caught out, and he's not affecting us. He's not helping us progress as much in terms of assists and in terms of what he needs to do. So it's unfortunate because he's Arsenal through and through, and he's been at the club for a long time, and since he's been 17, playing in the first team since 17. But I think the French league would be better for him, even though that's also a lot of pace over there too. I think PSG would be really good for him. I think that's a good solid team that I think he could get into. Germany, Italy. I just don't think England is the right place for him. I don't think so at this point in time. Spain, go back to Spain. I don't even think Spain really, because I think technically he may struggle over there too. But if Barca wants him, go ahead. You know, maybe it'll work out over there. You know, but it's just at this point, he's not there. We there's better options out there. There's younger options out there. Maybe a Max Aarons, maybe a Lamptey. Lamptey's kind of small, but maybe a Lamptey. Cedric's small too. I think Max Aarons would be first on my list personally. I think he has the tools to play at this level. I think he's better on the ball than Bellerin is. I think he's faster than Bellerin is at this point. I think he's defensively probably more sound than Bellerin is at this point too as well.
Would you just keep Ainsley Maitland-Niles and turn him into a right back?
I would say that's up to Ainsley Maitland-Niles. I think he comes back on loan and says, "Hey, I don't want to do this. I want to be a center mid, and that's it. Then we'll sell you. Go be a center mid at Newcastle or West Brom. We want 30 million, you know." Mm-hmm. I think that's the minimum at this point. English international, young. How old is Maitland-Niles now? 23, right?
Yeah, he's still pretty young.
Under 25, right? So yeah, under 25. Definitely. He's 23. Yeah. So he's 23 years old. England international, can play a plethora of positions. 30 million minimum. I would say 35, to be honest with you. Because the going rate, you know, if we sold Iwobi for around that figures, and I think he's a better player than Iwobi is. So,
yeah, but I also think Iwobi was playing a little bit better than he was.
Yeah, so maybe. Yeah, probably. But at the end of the day, Wobby is very limited in his positioning. I mean, he's playing right back over there now, so maybe not. But I think
who is
Wobby? He was playing wing back the other day. I mean, he's not playing there every position. I mean, every day. But I'm saying he's done it.
Like, I get it. Yeah,
he's done a job. So maybe that's what they're trying to get him to do over there. But Ainsley Maitland-Niles is that job. You know what I'm saying? He is that guy to go do that, right? So yeah, I think if he wants to go, do it. But if he wants to stay here and be a right back, yes, I would say that would be a great option. If he says, you know, Bellerin's gone, and we go to Mainz and Lyon and say, hey, look, this could be yours.
Saves
you know,
a lot of money.
It could save us a lot of money. I think we give him the shot. I guess we give him a year. Let Cedric be the backup. I think you still need to get another wing back, though, or get another young one. I know we have a couple in the academy that are on loan doing a decent job, but we're going to need another one for sure, because with KT's injury record, you're definitely going to need another one. I would definitely offer that.
Regardless of what happened, I still think that left back is a priority. Priority, honestly.
Definitely.
Because Tierney is literally the only one that we have, and we can't rely on Saka dropping back to cover
exactly
him. That's too for much sure. of a
that's too
a,
and he's and he's a, gonna, he's already a mainstay in other positions too. So
yeah, sort of exactly.
So let's go ahead and finish with the rest of his formation. So we did the back line. So we're thinking probably Bellerin or Cedric, but I'm pretty sure we're gonna see Bellerin. The two defensive mids.
I think we're gonna do Partey, And honestly, I still think Xhaka is going to keep his spot.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we talked about it already. He's too important to the team. You know, even though those things are going to happen, he's too important to the team. Ceballos, I feel like, is a bit hard done by, though, because outside of the calamity that he had, who did we play before that? Benfica in the second leg when he caused pretty much two goals. He's been pretty decent. I mean, the first leg he played decent. He's come on and been okay. But then again, it's probably better for him to be a spark off the bench anyways, because Partey's still trying to get fit. And, you know, with Partey not playing 90 minutes, it's good to have somebody come off the bench and add that spark. So, yeah, Partey and Xhaka, I agree. Who in the 10? That's another big question. So, front three. Let's go front three.
I think we go, well, this is what I want to see. I want to go Partey, Pepe, Aubameyang, and Saka.
Say that one more time.
Pepe, Aubameyang, and Saka. That's what I want to see. Saka on the left. Pepe. I mean, Aubameyang up top. Pepe on the right.
So who's in 10?
And then Odegaard.
Odegaard in 10.
And okay. The reason why I say that is because ESR, he did train today.
Yeah.
But I do think he'll be a good spark for us off the bench.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, obviously coming off an injury, he hasn't played in a little bit.
I agree with that too.
But I wouldn't mind if he was in the starting lineup.
Me neither.
What he gives us is what we've been lacking.
We've been lacking for some time now. So I agree with that too.
So
I agree with that front four. Ideally, if I chose the front four myself, which I don't think this is going to be, obviously I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, but if I chose the front three myself, I would put Aubameyang on the left. I would put Pepe on the left, Saka on the right. I'd play Aubameyang up top and Lacazette in the 10. That's what I would do. I would do that only because I would want us to try and start the game off by getting goals. I would push us to get goals. I'd play Lacazette for 65, 70 minutes and then put in Odegaard or Smith Rowe, whoever, and I'm playing Aubameyang up top. So then after he's done running that much, you can go ahead and switch those two around and then, you know, adjust from that point. I don't think that's going to happen because obviously you want Lacazette coming on to score goals if you need goals, and Aubameyang, you want him to be up top there so he can get on the end of things. So I get it. I think he'll end up playing that formation that you're saying. I think that same forward, that same front three. I think Pepe on the left, Saka on the right, Odegaard in the 10, and Aubameyang up top. I think we'll end up doing that. I think that team's good enough to win this game for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
So score predictions real quick.
Arsenal 2, Olympiacos 0.
Are we playing at, is it the same situation?
It's in Italy or whatever? Nah, I think it's in Greece.
So we're able to go there?
I think, well, we played the last one in Greece.
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, they just happened to be, that team,
I think with England, they couldn't come to us.
Benfica in England and
yeah, with Benfica, I don't think they could come to our stadium.
Yeah. Okay.
Because of all the new rules and regulations that the UK
COVID and things like that
put up.
Okay, so
yeah, we're playing at Olympiacos Stadium.
Olympiacos. Okay. So they said okay, gotcha. Because we ended up playing at Olympiacos Stadium last week. I mean, last time.
That's what I was gonna say. I thought it was at Olympiacos.
Understandable. Okay, so you said 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0.
I have 3-1. I'm gonna say 3-1. I think they're gonna get a goal somehow. But I got 3-1. So real quick, got 5 minutes left. What was that last question that we had with that Courtney had put in? Let's go ahead and answer that, and we'll call it from there, and then we'll save the rest of the questions for that preview against Spurs.
He had asked, do you think we will be in any European tournaments next year?
Oh.
And to answer that, it depends on how we do.
Yeah, so it depends on how we do tomorrow, right? Hey, we have 4 cup finals coming up. 8, I guess you could say, right? Round of 16, literally. Quarterfinals, semifinals. Well, I guess 7, right? Because in the finals, only one leg. So we potentially 7. I mean, I feel like a NCAA tournament team right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to just run the table. And put it this way. I think we will be if we win Europa League, because I don't the way that EPL is set up right now, I think we have a better chance winning the Europa League than we do getting top four
spots.
Yes.
Yeah.
With that being said, I mean, we don't know, right? Southampton looked like they were going to be top four in November. Well,
technically, we only need to get top six to be in European.
Yeah, true. And I guess that's the main question, right? We'll be in any European football next year. And looking at the groups, I mean, really, there's Milan and United. That's going to be a huge game tomorrow.
That's a tough one, yeah.
I think Milan may be able to pull that off. Shout out to Richie.
I don't know, man.
But who knows? Who knows, right? I hope they do, actually. But, I mean, with Milan left, United left, Ajax left, Villarreal left, Roma left, Tottenham left, Shakhtar left. It's not going to be easy, but none of those teams, I feel like we can say that we're going to lose 100%. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's none of these teams I can say, oh, damn. Like, there's no cities here. There's no Man Cities here, right? There's no Bayerns here. There's no teams where it's like, well, we're stepping on the field or we're going to lose. And even with City, we've beaten City in the FA Cup. So it's like, but my point to you is all these teams are beatable, right? Including us, including Arsenal. Arsenal is very beatable, right? Olympiacos has got to be liking their shots, their chances against us. So to answer your question, Courtney, I think we can be. I want to say yes. Obviously, we're able to. Will it happen? It is all dependent upon what happens in Europa League. I think as we get closer to, you know, if we win this, get in the quarterfinals, you get a good draw, maybe a Molde or a Granada, or even Granada is a tough outfit to, maybe a Slavia Prague or a Young Boys, a Dynamo, even Villarreal, I would take at this point. If we can grab one of those guys in the semifinals, anything can happen at that point, right? So, so to answer the question, yes, I think it's possible, but, you know, only time will tell. But anyways, we got about a minute left. Thank you guys for all the questions we're able to answer. Shout out to everyone who submitted questions. I'll be able to we're going to be having a pod in the next couple of days too as well for a preview for Spurs. So we'll definitely get your questions in by then. We'll ask some more. Shout outs for everybody that has been listening. So everyone we asked or everyone that put their input in on that, it's been much appreciated. Shout out to everybody that's been listening, man. Just certain areas, Jamaica, Trinidad, you know, Seattle, California, New York, England, you know, there's been a lot of places you guys have been listening, and I appreciate that. I don't know why Anchor has not shown us that in the logistics reports that I've been looking at, because it does not look like that at all. However, people from those areas have been telling me that they've been listening to the pod, so I don't know, man. But I do appreciate it, though. I appreciate it. It's a humbling experience to know that you guys are really watching it and listening to it. And we appreciate that. We appreciate all the feedback. We're just trying to make it bigger, man. We're trying to get more guests on and go from there. So thank you guys for that. If you guys have any questions about the pod, any things that you want to ask and anything that you want to add, comment, critique, we appreciate every one of it. So thank you guys for that. Sick, anything else?
Nah, man, you kind of said everything, but I just want to thank everybody as well. We definitely appreciate it and keep the feedback coming.
Facts. So, and yep, COYG. Hopefully next pod we'll be talking about Arsenal's 3-1 or 2-0 victory against Olympiacos and heading to a big North London derby. All right. Other than that, y'all have a good one. Stay blessed. Stay always unstressed.
Always.
And yes. Be the best.
Please, please, bars. Please.
All right, man. Peace.
Hey, man. Thank you. Peace.